on the KFWF 24/7, your global gospel source station with yours truly, the King's daughter, Naomi. It is always, always a privilege and an honor to have you. I tell you, we got a special guest with us on today. I want to appreciate each and every one of you that are tuned in, listening to my flaws. Sometimes when the air go dead, you still tune in. Thank you so much. But just know something, it's coming back on, okay? I be on my end doing my thing, and sometimes my little technology stuff just kind of run short, a little bit. And I get back on track. So thank you all for tuning in. Again, we have a special guest with us. We have Mr. Mario Rivers, and I definitely want to introduce him to you. How you doing, Mr. Mario?
I'm all right there, King's daughter. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. You can feel free to call me Naomi. That's fine with me. Amen.
Okay.
Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you good.
Okay, great. Well, tell the listening audience a little bit about, you know, who you are, Mario, and give us some background.
Okay, some background about me. My name is Mario Rivers. I'm the songwriter for gospel quartet traditional group named New Generation, and here over the past year or so, God has placed on my heart to write some things about our relationships, and because of that, I published a book. Came out February 14th, and we do have a couple of projects out, a DVD and some CD, and maybe we'll get the chance for her to play that today. But today we're going to talk about fixing the family, the faith, and the culture. That's what my first book is based off of. So.
Amen.
Naomi, we're gonna be truthful with you, and the name of the book is called The Truth, Keeping It 100, and it places emphasis on being truthful with your partner, and we'll get into it.
Amen. And I want to get right into this, because that being truthful with your partner means so much. And the reason I say that is because Mario truth and Naomi truth may be different from your truth, because people's situation and circumstances are different. And what I mean by that is some people may have been molested, and there are some that never experienced that. So what's true to them would be totally different from what's true to a person that has been violated. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so when you're talking keeping it 100, it is according to that person's situation and circumstance. And so that means you do have to lend a listening ear and try to understand the other person, because you may not have experienced that. You know, my mama might have knocked me upside the head and might have caused some situations and circumstances that don't act like you're going to hit me. You know what I'm saying? You might have never been knocked upside the head. So you don't have those, you know, those firewalls is what I call them. And so some.
I'm old fashioned.
You old fashioned.
Mama did the old fashioned thing, so I know all about this.
Yeah, that don't mean that person's spouse have, though. You know, some people just, I hear some lives and I'd be like, really? You ain't never got a woman? Wow.
You know, those kids that you see screaming in the stores.
So oh, okay.
I don't have that issue.
Well, that's why I want to say we have to always be careful, though, when we say keep it 100. That statement kind of scares me sometimes. I keep it real. Yeah, real according to who? Your life? Because that may not be real according to my life. I watch my stepdaddy beat my mama. That not going to happen to me. You see? And so, yeah, what's real to you may not be real to another person. I always like to say you got to be careful when you say keeping it 100, and it's according to who. But when you're talking keeping it 100 in your relationships and for your spouse, you tell them what you've been through. I met this brother, and he said to me, you know, hey, I suffer with depression. I don't understand depression. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He said he was serious. That was a serious issue, that he suffered with depression. And I'm like, I don't know if I can deal with that, because I'm a high-spirited person. And so to come home all the time and you depressed, and I ain't understanding, and God being good to us, and you can't get with the program, that might be a problem for me, you know.
I can definitely relate.
Right.
It's like a person that you know, have an immense amount of push and you know, being a go-getter, and then, you know, you have somebody that's not like that.
Exactly.
You might not be able to understand it because you had that drive and you had that push. I can totally relate.
Right. And so, and they, to them keeping it real, I've heard some, I just want to sit home and watch movies all day. Ain't no way in the world. I can't sit and watch movie after movie. I feel like I'm wasting my life. And so to some brothers, that might be a problem because they want to watch movies and that's cuddling to them. And I'm like, oh, I don't know how I can do that. There are certain, I can take certain days. And like you said, this is why it's so important to be real with yourself, number one, and your spouse. Because he need to know. One brother asked me, you ain't never going to take time to watch a movie with me? And I'm like, well, yeah, I can make time to do it. I mean, I don't know how often it'll be. Just being for real.
you know, that's one of the things, one of the chapters in my book, in chapter 6, is called The Strong Woman. And it's actually, it starts the chapter out off by mentioning that, you know, you should always be yourself, you know, because right. Eventually the real you is going to come out anyway.
Exactly. And I watch TV every now and then. I really do. I found myself watching it more once my mother passed away. I was kind of not wanting to work and do things, you know, the normal way. I was just dealing with myself. And to me, that was just a bypasser. And I did. I mean, I asked my children, you know, what's a good movie now? And I didn't want to be bothered with people, you know, during that time. So I did watch a couple of movies and it was okay. I mean, I don't have anything against it. But yeah, to a person that matters and they buy all these videos and I mean, they buy them and store that stuff up, it might mean a lot to them. And I wouldn't want someone to come into my world that feel like, you know, she always busy, always got something to do. And you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And, you know, I wouldn't want to damper their lifestyle and what they like to do. So, but anyway, back to your book. We are talking about your book. Tell us a little bit about what inspired this ebook.
Yeah, the name of it is Life Questions Answered. And it's the first of a few series that I'm writing. But okay. And it's called 28 Questions of Thought. And what inspired the questions was the first book I wrote, actually. And I sent out some questions, and there were 6 questions that'll help you, you know, answer what are you looking for in a relationship. But on top of that, I came up with some other questions from my blog and from, you know, another book that I'm writing. And then I put this ebook together. And, you know, it forces us to be truthful and honest with ourselves and evaluate what we really want before we, you know, jump into anything. Because these days, you know, if you just sit in any, you know, restaurant or anything, or you listen to some a group of females talk or a group of guys talk, and you'll hear a prevalent thing about, you know, how sorry guys are, how they can't find a good guy. You know, there's a lot of things like that going on. And the people just want somebody. They want somebody to love them and treat them right. And
right. These
days, you know how the culture has changed. And,
right.
you know, so everybody just want to Netflix and chill. And so my book is pretty much asking people questions to make them challenge that, to make them challenge, you know, fornicating, to make them challenge, you know, in challenge guys who just want to, you know, Netflix and chill. So that was the premise behind these questions in this ebook that I wrote.
Right. I like this disclaimer you put on here, and I'm going to put it out there for you. It say, if you like to tell me I'm wrong or put in your own 2 cents or point of view on the stuff in the ebook, I'd love to hear it. I like that. And
yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times we don't have PhDs and we're not coming from we've done so much research. But you know, we've done enough we've lived enough to know certain things or to ask certain questions, and we would have an answer. Mario, I would share with you too. I was talking with a friend girl of mine, and I had never heard this like this, but I was talking with her and we were talking about the type of men that we would accept in our life. And she was saying, I don't care what nobody say. I ain't getting what not no man that I got to pay the rent. She said, I ain't paying nobody's rent. I pay my own car payment. I pay my own phone bill because he ain't going to tell me to park my car. And he ain't going to tell me I can't talk on my phone. And I thought, wow. Go ahead. You can go ahead.
Well, I have this thing, this concept I came up with called the rule of three. And the first thing, before I tell you what the rule of three is, the things that I write about the things people should have is not to be materialistic. It's simply to point out that a guy, for him to be a viable candidate for you, will have some things to offer. And so I've introduced this concept called the rule of three. And the rule of three is simply this. Mm-hmm. You should have your own place, your own car, and your own job. You know, if you're going to be a man and you're going to be taking care of the family, you're going to be the rubber band that holds that thing together. And if you don't have those three things, it's going to be pretty tough for you to be a man and to teach your sons or daughters how to, you know, to be a proper ambassador for Christ and, you know, and just be a good member of our society. So the rule of three is something that I touch on in this ebook and also in my first book as well. So
you might need to do a men's seminar or something.
Well, don't worry. I didn't just bash the men now. There's some things in there for women, too.
Amen.
You know, thing going on about, you know, women getting with lame guys. And it's not all the guys' fault. I mean, you know, women also have the power to choose. And, you know, normally women don't choose the right guy right off. You know, when they're young, they don't want the guy like I was when I was in school, you know. I wore glasses. I was nerdy. I did, you know, I paid attention in class. I wasn't a jock, so to speak, you know. But, you know, years down the line, you get over 30 or you get in your late 20s and you realize that all those guys that you used to go after were no good. But by then, you know, you're three kids and three different fathers in, you know, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. And my book addresses stuff like that we really need to tackle in the community. And, you know, you should have the rule of three. Relationships are about reciprocating things. And for me, you know, I'm a successful guy. And if I was single and I was looking for someone, you know, and I don't judge people or, you know, anything like that, but my preference wouldn't be somebody who doesn't have the rule of three or who's made so many mistakes and disregarded, you know, safety and things that many times, you know, that, I mean, you know, that's what it is for men and women. They should both strive to have that. You'd be working on a career, have your own place, and have your own means of transportation.
I totally agree.
A few things about you.
I totally agree. I had this brother, and it seemed like the ones that are not in the three are the ones that would approach you more than anything. For me, anyway, I'm like, wow.
It ain't just you.
Am I just that nice or what? But yeah, they.
I remember you said.
Go ahead.
I remember you said a second ago that even though we don't have PhDs and stuff like that, we have life experiences.
Right.
But let me tell you. I used to be in the United States Navy, too, and I traveled a lot. Mm-hmm. So that book, actually, I visited over about 25 countries in over about 5 years getting all this information. Not on purpose, either.
Wow.
And that's why it's such a real e-book and such a real book, because I didn't actually try to do this. I was just trying to gather information. So it's over 5 years' worth of stuff. Asking different people, different ethnicities, different nationalities, and the questions I ask, I get the same answers, which lets me know that it's a universal problem. So,
wow. No. I totally agree with you, and I just told a brother, I promise you, he was interested in me, and I told him, you know, he had a job, he have a job, he have a car, but he said he have a roommate. Yeah, it's nothing wrong with a roommate. I told him nothing wrong with a roommate. What's the circumstance behind the roommate? I mean, you just saving money or, you know, he's like, well, you know, I want to get my own place. I just don't have the deposit to get my own place. And I'm like, okay. And in the car situation, there was a little bit of distance between where I live and where he live. And he was like, we're kind of distance. I say, well, you got a car and I got a car, right? And he said, well, my car have, the tie rods are not good on them. So neither one of his tie rods are good. And he don't have the money to fix it. So I'm like, wow. Well, it sounds like I'm just going to be a distraction to you.
Don't be so hard on the brother.
Listen at you. Oh, my God. No.
But, I mean, look, I addressed that in the book as well. And as a matter of fact, in chapter 4, it's called Standards. I say we know it's not about being materialistic. They should have the rule of three. But if it's a situation like you just said, I also say that, you know, we need to get some clarification on the situation, just like you did. You asked him what was the circumstances of him having a roommate. You know, are you trying to save some money? You know, he might have just went through something devastating in his life or something like that.
Right.
And I also say, don't judge and determine a person's true character before you X them out. Because I know women these days are like, you ain't got this. You out of there. I'm not gonna deal with you.
Well,
you know, it's a balance there. Wow. That has to be met.
You think that was too hard?
No, I don't.
Oh,
I don't,
okay.
But because I originally said that they should have the rule of three, but I also say in my book that if they don't, if they have two out of the three, inquire about the third one. For instance, like in your situation, you see, mm-hmm. if a guy stays with his roommate, that I would ask about the situation and see what the circumstances are. I don't think that's too bad because, you know, he could, eventually, if he's talking to you, make preparations and plans to get his own place. I mean, he's going in the right direction. But like a guy that stays with his mom, you know, you might want to ask about that. You know, I mean, as long as you talk about it and you see that he's going in a direction that you want him to go, then that's fine.
Right.
Well, yeah, for my own personal, you know, and for women, if they just want to completely be on an even playing field, then the rule of three should apply. Now, everybody have their breaking point and everybody have their things that they tolerate and don't tolerate. But with that one, you know, since it's just a roommate, I mean, you know, that's maybe you can give a little bit on that.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't encourage my daughter to.
Listen at you. Look at that. No. I wouldn't, because the only reason I wouldn't is because, you know, in further conversation, it was, I work and this is the job I work, and he's not planning to get another job or to do nothing to make any more income, which I like to really let people be comfortable in who they are. And so we talked and this all the income I'm going to make, and this income is not allowing you to get enough to get into your own place. It's not allowing you to fix your car, and it's going to allow you to stay right here where you at, then where you ain't going nowhere.
So you figured that he didn't want more.
Exactly.
Well, you know, this is another thing that I talk about. And I'm going to talk about the black community. We don't get taught how to manage money and all of that stuff like that. And it's an important aspect when looking about relationships, too.
Because, right.
You know, nine times out of ten, we learn by trial and error. We mess up first. And by the time we want to get a house or get married, you know, man, our credit's so tore up. And
I agree.
But, I mean, in his situation, the thing is, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It matters about what you do with what you make.
Exactly.
God wants us to be good stewards. If you're a good steward, no matter how much you make, you can make that work for you. You just have to be disciplined. And you have to build up slowly.
Right. And that's truth. I believe in that. It's not a certain amount of money. In a sense, you know, you can't, if you can't do a two-bedroom and keep it up, you can't pay the rent on a two-bedroom, and you want a family, that's going to be hard. You need to get two jobs, brother.
Get that income up.
Yeah, you're going to have to do something to get your income up. Or just, you know, again, save. You can stay in a, you can stay in an efficiency and save for a while. And then, you know, then approach a woman. But you're not ready.
I'm about to go at you now.
Come on at me.
Next question now.
Go ahead.
The thing is, a lot in the black community, a lot of us guys, and not me because I'm successful at it, but a lot of guys feel that if they talk to a woman and they say things like you said, which I don't think it, you.
No,
you
no, that's fine. I get called a gold digger all the time.
You knew exactly where I was going.
Absolutely.
With it, but I don't think that's what it is.
Nope, not at all.
I don't think that's what it is. I think that, you know, guys, the what it used to mean to be a man, I don't think. I think we lost some of that.
Exactly.
You know, and a woman, too.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the big thing that I think in our community is missing. That's actually what sparked me to write all of this stuff that I wrote, because of things like that.
I think,
you know, a woman's standards, that's not being a gold digger. You know,
no.
But if you're trying to get up something and you're not giving anything in return, that's a whole other ball game, and that's not what we're talking about here.
Well, I sure started to write a
that clear.
I started to write a book called Why I Got to Be a Gold Digger. Because I want something out of life and want you to bring something. You know why I got to be a gold digger. I really started to write a book called that because I do get people that know me, they know better. They like, no, she's not even that ain't my character at all. So most people that get to know me, and most people that know me, know that's not my character. But yet it sound like one to them. And I say, no, you just sideways offended. Just be honest about it. And I understand that. It may be offensive, but the bottom line is you want to be real, that's going to be a problem. If I got to drive all the time to come see you because we live a distance from each other because your car tore up, or either I got to fix it because you can't, that ain't going to work. Why would I put myself in that position?
Thin line. It's a thin line between a guy that's trying to do better and is in a tough situation,
well,
than a guy that is stuck in a situation and don't want to do better. That's
exactly. And that's a major difference.
But that's a thin line.
But that's a conversation. That's a conversation. And in that conversation, and you got a brother that's trying to get out of it, he would have said it. Yeah, it would have been a whole different conversation. Yeah.
Right. He let you know right off that, hey, this is where I'm at. You accept it or you don't.
Exactly. And he said it in a very nice way. I want to preach. No, brother, bye. You know, but it's, you know what? And I don't like to seem like I'm being judgmental or none of that stuff. You have to be careful because I'm not taking care of brother like that. I'm sorry. I will look out for a brother. Don't get me wrong. Because I am that one that is a help meet to my man. And I look out for a brother. Don't get me wrong. And look, okay. Hey, your paycheck, hey, all the bills paid by the 15th, when mine come, you do, you gonna have what you want, brother. That's it. I look out. Don't get me wrong. But that's the problem. You I'm gonna look out, but are you gonna be able to look out?
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when the pickings are slim for both men and women out here, you know,
right.
It's a lot of sorry women out here too. And I don't bash either men or women. As a matter of fact, in my book, I call out the things that we need to focus on, both men and both women. But you know, it's the same thing. If I was single, you know, there are certain things I expect too, and I'm, you know, I think you did well. See, I X them out for you know. Things that people might feel is small, you know, but I mean, they have to have the rule of three, you know, they have to be having a goal that they want to reach. I don't want nobody that's just content going through the motions of life every day. That's not greatness. That's not what God wants us to be. We all have something great inside of us, and people who are content being where they are, they're not going to be able to vibe with me because I got things that I got to do. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. And I met a brother like that. I met this brother that, you know, he was, you know, very goal orientated. He wanted to sit down with me and write goals out, and I ain't into all that. I don't believe, right. Don't give me, I ain't doing no New Year's resolution. I believe in let's just do it, like Nike. You can sit and talk all this talk, and I'm not finna talk all day with you. I tell people I do hair. I own a beauty salon. I am not your consultant. We ain't gonna talk all day. What do you want? You want your hair done or don't you? Do you know what you want? If you don't know what you want, leave it to me. Then let me hook you up, and then we'll go from there. But I'm not finna sit here and talk all day. Yeah, I'm not. We ain't finna talk all day. That ain't finna happen. You ain't sitting here all day with me, having a class with me, talking about you. And I don't mind. I don't mind consulting certain things. I mean, don't get me wrong. You got a bill. They say count up the cost before you get into certain endeavors. I don't mind that.
Right.
But this brother was real annoying with it. I mean, every 5 minutes, like, what'd you spend money on? I'm like, excuse you? How much money did you spend today? Can you tell me where you spent all your money at today? And are you keeping up?
You know what? What's that? I can relate to that, brother.
Hey.
I mean, but I can relate to him.
And that's okay. And
the reason why, it shouldn't be, I mean, if you're going to say, I have this thing in my book, and I say that you should do a QRA, a quarterly relationship assessment every 3 months. And here's why I say that.
Okay.
Because if you're in a marriage or a long committed relationship, right, how often are you in a relationship and you look up and boom, 6 months pass, boom, one year pass, just like that, and you don't even realize where the time went.
They say the time fly when you're having fun.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, things build up. You don't even think about it during that time. If you take it every 3 months and do that QRA, this is the time where you say, hey, how's everything going? Is there anything that you want me to improve on? Is there anything that annoys you about me? How are we doing? You know, things like that. People don't do that.
You're right.
Me and my wife, we actually sit down and do that. But you don't.
That is good.
Go somewhere without the kid. Yeah, but in talking about that, when the guys was talking about goals and what you spent, let me tell you, I can relate to him because I do that with my wife. I mean, look, right now we saving up to buy a house. So if I ask you, hey, you know, such and such money is missing and you can't tell me where it went, I'm going to be upset and I'm going to scrutinize you about it because I'm like that. And that's actually, you know, part of something that I'm working on.
Absolutely.
To me, if I was courting a woman and, you know, and I just asked her that simple question and she gave me an attitude or she didn't want to answer, X.
Yeah.
If I'm thinking about a long-term relationship with you, that's a very important thing. You know what the number one cause of divorces is right now?
They say finances or communication, rather. It's communication, not finance in there. What is it?
Huh?
What is it?
It's money and financial disagreements. Number one cause of divorces. And that's one thing why, you know, I give a large amount of time to talking about that in a couple of my books because, again, when you get with somebody, they have to be financially responsible. Because in the future, you know, if we're not good stewards, that money is going to be gone, and you're not going to even realize where it went. And that's not how God wants us to govern our money. You know, that's just not. And so if I'm courting a woman, she might think at the time, I mean, it takes time for people to see stuff. My wife is a person who has to see something come to fruition before she'll get fully behind it. And, you know, some women don't wait long enough to find out what we're trying to say or what we're trying to do. They have to see it. They have to be tangible. I agree with that, brother, man.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta ask about the money.
You ain't going to micromanage me like that. I can't afford it. I just can't. I can't even function with all that.
Not micromanaging.
Yeah, I can't be micromanaged. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with asking a question, though. I don't have a problem with a question. You going to come back tomorrow and ask me that same question? I don't have a problem with a question. We can work that out. I just bring you the receipts. How about it? Can I get a receipt?
The biggest one thing that couples don't do, men most times just let their wife pay all the bills, or vice versa. A woman just let the man do it. And that's not how it should be. Both people should come. Me and my wife, we sit down at the table, so to speak. And before we spend a dollar, we agree on where every dollar is going. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a painful process because she's like you in that respect. man, I'm not about to sit down and you're not about to micromanage me on this money. But it's not micromanaging. We have to agree. We can't just spend money how we want. We have to agree. And that means we're going to have to go through some type of growing process, some type of painful process. But after she starts seeing those O's in the bank, she starts saying, all right, come on, babe. We got to sit on down and do this. We got to do this budget now. You know what I mean? Right. So,
and it's true. I think for me, that's what I would need. Somebody that can deal with it. Because at first, I probably would be like that. But I'd probably get over it. As long as I know the best interest is.
People are like that because nobody likes change. If you've been doing it on your own like that for all those years.
Exactly.
Or whatever, and somebody comes along and says, hey, you know, what are you doing with this? You're going to feel like they micromanaging, as you say, or scrutinizing you or treating you like a child. But as we grow, we'll figure out that when you sit down and talk about these important things, it's going to be some growing pains at first, but then you'll start to see the results. There are no results that happen overnight. Almost everything that's worth having or working for or building, you're going to take some time. And most of us can't get over that initial time it's going to take.
You know, I had a brother that approached me one time and say, have you ever had a man to manage you?
I wouldn't lead with that.
Oh, my God. You ever had a man
with a black woman?
You ever had a man to manage you? I'm like, what? Yeah,
I could have came at it a different way.
If he get with a woman, she got to come to the table with something and not no $700 a month. I said, well, shoot, I agree with you on that one, but you know,
as you get older, you got to look at that.
You ain't finna, yeah. Have you ever had a man to manage you? I'm like, I don't need no man to manage me. I'm a grown woman.
And that therein lies one of the issues.
I know.
You know what we call that? Most men would say, oh, she got an attitude.
I know.
I used to look at it like that. Right. But I don't. Right. I don't anymore because I've matured. What it is that most people get defensive. If it's anything that you're trying to introduce that's changed. Now, that brother, he went about it the wrong way.
Yes, he did.
Saying that, have you had a man manage you? That's automatically, you're going to catch some flack from a black woman, period. You're not going to escape that one because she's going to turn her nose up at you. She's going to weigh that thing and she's going to say, uh-uh, not today, brother.
Okay. And I really tried to look at it in a positive respect somehow, but I'm like, psh, nah.
But, you know, that's, you know what I mean? That's something
you
want to get over that.
You he really, should
in general, we not trying. We trying to help.
He should have said, "You ever had a man to come take care of you?" That would have got my attention.
Nah,
that would have got my attention. If you gonna manage me, what you?
That's true.
You gonna manage me? That mean you finna be responsible for me then, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But, see, it's another coin to that. The whole thing is you just don't come straight at it and see that, and therein, that's, you went to one end of the spectrum saying, hey, do you need a man to manage you? And then you went to the other end of the spectrum for when a man would look at you crazy and you say, oh, you're going to take care of me.
Exactly.
And listen, this might not be true, but for me, if that's the first thing that come out of a woman's mouth, that say, am I going to take care of you? That to me, and I write about this in our book, that's like a basketball player that sits on a bench and collects a paycheck but never asks to be in the game, never scores a point. He doesn't contribute to the team winning or losing. What do you think is going to happen to that bench sitter? You think they're going to keep him on the team or you think they're going to cut him? They're going to cut him. And that's what that man will do. He will cut you off the team if you're not putting up no points. That's what a woman who come to me and say, I want you to straight take care of me. That's what they're saying to me.
Yeah, well, that's obvious. I don't need you to straight take care of me, but I'm just saying with a question like, have you had a man to manage you?
Right. It's the same type of thing where if a woman would say that.
Yeah.
Again, it's about communication and the way that people say things or come at them. A lot of us, we don't have training in etiquette.
Well, that was scary to me.
How to speak to it.
That was very scary to me. I'm like, nah, bro, I ain't finna deal with this.
It's some outrageous cats out there, I agree. But let me tell you, on the other end, there's some outrageous of your counterparts out there as well.
I agree.
And it's all about communication, man. We got different ways of communicating. It's always going to be something for men and women to disagree about because we do things differently. That's the way we're designed. So we're not always going to sit down and talk that thing that you don't want to do.
Right.
You don't want to sit down at the table and write them goals down. But it's necessary to you know.
I got many goals written out. I mean, I do write the vision to make it plain, but I got many of them. So.
All right.
Many of them.
You know, one thing, you know, everything to that governs how we should be is written somewhere in the Bible. We just got to read and find it. And a lot of us, we just go about doing things the way that we want to do, and we don't consult the Word about it.
Come on now. You know, yeah, write the vision and make it plain.
I'm no preacher. My two youngest brothers are preachers. They can preach that to you.
Listen at you. you gonna make it plain. Your day coming. We all run from it.
Everybody, a lot of people say that. I'm not running from it.
Uh-huh.
I think God's chosen me to write music and write the truth to help people out. I don't think I'm going in that realm. He's just imparted a lot of wisdom on me, and I want to share it with people. That's all.
You have an interesting question here in your ebook. Question 10.
Let's get to it.
Question 10, okay. Would you marry someone or consider them for marriage without loving them or being in love with them if they had all the things you wanted? For instance, they was a good provider, good career, goal, family orientated. Wow, that's good. I got an example for that too when you get time, but I just wanted to give you a chance to expound on it.
Well, here's the thing. I actually have met people and know people who have chosen men based on those things.
Right.
And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's nothing wrong with them. But they admitted to me mm-hmm. that they didn't love the guy. And they've been together several years now, and they have grown to love the guy. But it goes back to what you and I were talking about like when you said, you know, the guy had a roommate. You want a guy to be on an even level with you.
Right.
And so if a woman finds a guy that has these things, family and goal-oriented, has a good career, is a good provider, those things to women say he's stable. They say he could be a possibly good husband.
Right.
They say he's going to be able to take care of me. That's what
mm-hmm.
those things say. And
right.
some women are, as we get older, that becomes very, very important. And I've seen women do it, you know, for that very reason. And it's a very logical reason. But as I say, as you see there, I say that I don't think people should ever marry within the rest of their life with that person. Because that's one of the building blocks of a marriage or, you know, a long committed relationship. You shouldn't marry them if you really don't love them. Because people don't take marriage for what it used to mean. Now, my dad's a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. My two youngest brothers have been preaching over 10 years.
Mm.
So you know how my family already feel about that. Marriage should be forever. But these days, marriage is just like, you know, that J.C. song, let me get that dirt off your shoulder. If the right person come along, they can just brush it right off. They say the right things. They do the right things. And this is why we have in such a problem with marriage in our community. Because they married for the wrong reasons.
Right.
They rush into marriage. I don't think anybody should be rushed. You should take as much time as you need because when you make that decision, the weight of that decision can literally crush you. You're responsible for everybody within that household. That's what the Bible says. When you marry a woman, she's yours. It's your responsibility. And so we shouldn't rush into that. We shouldn't let pastors and grandmas and mamas say, y'all shacking up, y'all need to get married. They're not going to be the ones living with that person. We need to think about it long and hard. We have children right now, fatherless children, single mothers. This is the problem. We gotta step up as men and say, I am going to be a father to my kids. I'm going to be a husband to my wife. And for that, you never rush. If it takes you 6 years, that's what it takes you. When you make that decision, you should, in your mind, have tunnel vision that's the only person you will ever be with for the rest of your life. People don't take the vow seriously these days, till death do us part.
You think it seriously take 6 years?
What you say?
You think it seriously takes 6 years?
No, it doesn't take 6 years. I was using that as an example. But this is what I'm saying. In the grand scheme of a marriage or a long committed relationship, 2 years ain't nothing. A lot of people think that, you know, oh, you've been with her for 2 years. That's enough time. Women think that men are afraid of marriage. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, Naomi?
I think not necessarily. I just think some of the brothers need some help.
We are afraid of giving all our resources, love, affection, finances, money, time, feelings, and love to the wrong woman. We're not scared of giving it to a woman, but we're scared of giving it to the wrong woman. Because once you make that decision, you know what the consequences for that decision being wrong are? A divorce.
Right.
And statistically, it says, research I found when I did from this book, that a man or woman loses, well, really they said a man, loses 4 years of his life after divorce. 4 years. You know what I could do with 4 years?
Now, women lose,
too. And so it's just that serious. Well, not so much. The way the system, I think, is designed. Mm.
Well, because...
in most cases, the woman always comes out ahead. You disagree?
I disagree. I disagree because there's so many men that are not to standard. I mean, if you got a good man, yeah. But there's so many that are not to the standard. And we get caught up with them and marry them, and women lose, too. Yeah,
I don't think people get caught up. What people do is they get infatuated with an ideal.
Well,
and then instead of looking at that man for what he really is, they look at the idea of what they want him to be. And so they ignore red flags. All this is in the book.
I understand.
They ignore signs.
But you know what? And I think it was just immaturity, because I got with someone that when I was 15, I met him. We married at 21. Immaturity can take place. Yes, there's a lot of red flags, but I was so immature at the time, I didn't even know how to handle it. And so...
Now, so you was with him for 6 years?
No, we were together 12 years.
12. Okay, well, that's no small number.
Right. No, I tried to make it work, I stayed through a lot. I really wish I was courageous enough in my younger days to walk away, but I wasn't as courageous as I am now, unfortunately.
Right.
Courageous means to do it afraid. That's courageous, when you can do it afraid. If you can walk away even when you're afraid of leaving the relationship but walk away from it, that's courageous. Yeah. And I really wish
time
I could.
Time will make you courageous.
Yeah.
Wisdom will make you courageous.
Absolutely. Maturity definitely makes you courageous.
A lot of our women are doing what you just said, and by the time they're ready to settle down with a man that really a lot of baggage. I talk about that in the book too, in the chapter 7. It's called Baggage Claim.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about all the things that we gather during our life that makes us, you know, take baggage into the next relationship. So yeah, women will have their guards up. They'll have an attitude. They'll have this and that. This is what a man might think. Because all throughout their past, it took them a long time to learn that, hey man, this guy, he might look nice. He might say talk smooth. He might do this, but he's no good for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the thing. Some people learn from their mistakes, and a lot of them don't.
Right.
And the people I'm talking about are those women who, if you have a kid by one guy, and it didn't work out, and you know, you found out what type of guy this was, but then you do it again, then it's kind of starting to be your fault. Now, if you do it more than twice, that absolutely disqualifies you from being a viable candidate in a man's mind. Some men will deal with that. But that's what's happening. You know, we got to learn earlier. You know, I mean, you shouldn't be penalized for your mistakes, but people do got to realize that, you know, our consequences do follow us maybe 5, 10, or even 15 years in the future.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And you said it, the consequences of our choice.
You say what?
Yep, your consequences of your choices do follow you.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, you should look at, in that ebook, question number 19. That's going to give you something to talk about. And the question is, and this is not to pick on anybody, but it's just a question. The question is, would you date a woman with 3 kids by 3 different fathers? And we can use that both for men and for women.
Right.
That was the question.
Wow.
And I actually had gotten some feedback from people on it, too, about what they thought. And let me tell you, I was amazed at what I found.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a study that they did. I think it was about 300 studies showed that each year, as an upper limit, 30% of that 300,000 DNA tests are of all children are conceived by a man that's other than the one that the mother says is the father. Which means that, you know, at the end, I'm going to fast forward, about 90,000 men per year are being accused of being the children, the fathers of children that aren't theirs.
Mm.
90,000.
That's crazy.
That's a lot.
Right.
I mean, our young women, it's hard for them to recover once they have, you know, make that many mistakes at that young of an age. It's difficult for them to recover, you know, even in their 20s and 30s. It takes a long time to get out of that type of stuff, you know?
Right. I don't know.
And that's what I want to fix.
That's
the problem in America today.
Right. I was thinking circumstantial. What happened? They got 3 different baby daddies. I mean, is it because they're just being loose? Did daddy one die and daddy two die?
It could be the first one went to jail, the second one went to jail. It could be, you know, maybe they genuinely, and I doubt this, I do give it its due diligence, and this could possibly be it, but I doubt it. Maybe they really thought in their minds that each guy was going to be good to them. Maybe they really thought that they would be with those people. I just don't think, you know, and I don't, again, no judgment here. I'm not taking anything away from them. I actually know quite a few that are very successful and that are trying their best to change their life around. And I commend those young women. But like you said, you know how they are. A lot of them, when they're young, they lose. I remember in my community, we used to have a lot of older ladies, and if a chick was being too fast, they would tell her, hey, stop being fast now, you know.
Right.
Because it took a village back in the day. It ain't like that no more.
Mm-mm.
I mean, girls are, you know, what's important to them now is being Instagram's top twerk model or something. You know, things that are not even important. They want to be popular for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
And nobody's there. I mean, people like us are there to probably steer them in the right direction, but nobody else is. Their moms are young. You know, we got grandmother's 36 right now, getting her mom to watch her kids so she can go to the club. This is all stuff I touch on in my books.
And that's good because it needs to be addressed.
And the culture. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of people want to be politically correct. Thank God I don't have to do that. I'm not in politics, so I can tell the truth.
Come on.
I thank God has tasked me with doing it.
I owned a beauty salon, and I'm telling you, some of the ladies that would come get their hair done, you know, we befriended each other because, you know, I'm their beautician.
Oh, of course.
And they would be going to the club. They come to get their hair done. They're on their way to the club. And where are your kids at? The kids are home alone. No. And I would say, bring those kids here. You know, bring them to the shop and let them sit up here with me. Leave them kids at home by themselves.
This type of stuff is why our black marriages are minimal. And why a lot of black men are not, they're not checking for that. Not the good, God-fearing, successful men that want a good wife. We're not checking for those type of women. And that's not to bash them or to make them look bad. But that's just the truth. When a man wants to settle down with a woman, he's not looking for that. He's not looking for a woman who puts her kids off on others. I mean, first of all, like going back to what we said about the three kids by three different fathers.
Right.
There's a problem there. If you didn't learn your mistake after the first or second time, shame on you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We got to get some of this old quartet playing up in here. DMD. If you ain't got your business fixed, shame on you.
Okay.
No, we got to get it right. We got to get it right. And that's why, you know, when I saw things as when I was younger, I promised myself that I would be 10 times better than that, and I would never let that happen. This is why I'm working so hard on my marriage, so hard on raising my sons and my daughter. I mean, it's a difficult thing, but I'm telling you, I got so much tenacity behind that thing because I don't want them to end up like other people that I see, other people that I'm writing about, people that I'm trying to educate, situations that I'm trying to educate them about.
And that's truth.
Goes deep, man. It goes deep.
And it's truth, but you know,
it addresses some things that we have problems with.
Right. And I think communication is number one when it comes to, even if you see somebody's child somewhere and you can gleam a second just to talk to them. It meant the world to me for a lady to take time to say, hey, listen, you need to go to college if you want to be anybody in life. That's why I went to school, because Miss Betty told me, Miss Betty Wilson took a few minutes out of her busy schedule on the bus to sit me down and say, listen, you need to go to college if you want to be somebody. That shaped my life. And you know what? When I finished high school, I realized what Miss Betty Wilson said. I needed to go to college if I wanted to be somebody. That was my start. I didn't even know what I wanted to do, but I went to the college. I went in next to a counselor. I talked to the counselor and said, listen, what can I do to have a career in a year? Because I know I don't want to go to school for 4 years.
Right.
But that's how I got
started. I'm going to address that now.
Go ahead.
It's great that you decided to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things I talk about is what you just, and it's not to pick on you either, Naomi.
No, go ahead.
You know, you just said it. I want to go to school and do something, but I don't want to go to school for 4 years because I don't want to be there that long.
Sure didn't.
And the whole thing is, you know, we got to get to the point where we can't take shortcuts to success.
Let me tell you something.
Now, this is not towards you. I see you very successful. You own your beauty salon. You got a radio show. I actually saw that your song is on number 7 on the hip-hop Christian charts. You're doing some big things.
And I have a master's degree to this day. But I can tell you, I didn't start off with that. Now, my attitude was totally different from when I matured. Because we got to let these kids mature as long as they're doing something. I mean, you can't be too hard on them, is what I'm saying. And I want to say that because, you know, I didn't want to go to school for 4 years. I know I wasn't going to school for 4 years. I knew it had to be something in life I can do to get me a start in life before 4 years. Because 4 years of college is not paying me no rent nowhere. And I know I had to get out of my mama's house. I ain't have nowhere else to go. And then I end up going with my boyfriend. Uh-huh.
That's what our kids don't have.
Exactly.
You wanted to do that. You wanted to get out on your own. You had that desire to go do that on your own. And that's what our kids don't have today.
Man.
Everything given to them.
I had to. My mama was so tough. It wasn't even. I had to get out of there. Yeah. I had to get my own.
I'm going to make some folks mad.
Because mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell the truth.
Go ahead.
No, I say, I'm going to make some folks mad because I'm going to tell the truth.
Right.
I mean, you know, where we got to fix ourselves, I'm going to have to talk about it.
And that's true. Children are lax nowadays. My kids didn't even want to get driver's license. I got my license when I was 16. I was so happy. My son was 21 years old before he decided, okay, I'll go get him. I'm like, what?
Right.
What is wrong with you? And I'm telling them, what is wrong? Y'all are nothing like me. You have no ambition. What is wrong? What did I do wrong?
Right.
You know, I didn't give y'all the world, but my goodness, get some tenacity about yourself. But that was at age 21. He didn't even want, he just got his driver's license. And then, but my son's 24 now, and I'll be going to his graduation because he did go join the Marines Praise God. But I mean, it just took some time. It's like, what you gonna do with your life? Because if you right. think you gonna stay in my pocketbook, we got problems.
Right, right.
You know, and I didn't want to put him. I ain't want to put my son out. People were saying you need to put him out. You being a mama's, he's a mama's boy. No, that's you ain't right. gonna put all that on my son. No, he ain't all that. He got to get it together. Don't get me wrong, but I was defending my boy too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I know.
My y'all men so hard. Gosh.
Nah, it ain't being hard. You got to set boundaries. Let me tell you. I'm the oldest. You want to talk about hard.
Okay.
I'm the oldest. What you think the oldest got to be an example? He can't mess up because he got to be an example for his younger brothers. I got three younger brothers, and I'm 34.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest brother is about 29. So that means everything I did, every step I take, had to be the right one. And I did that. Did they follow in my footsteps?
Nope.
They didn't. And my mama would do the same thing that you just said and would stick up for them and beg. She would call. I joined the Navy when I was 17. So I've been on my own that long. And she would call me and she would complain sometimes about things. And I would say, you got to let them be men. If that, yeah, but I don't want to do this. I don't want to kick them out. Hey, look, sometimes it takes tough love. We have to set boundaries.
Well, I did kick mine out. I'm going to be honest. Him and the daughter. I kicked her out, too.
That's how women are. That's how they are about their sons.
But I kicked both of them. I kicked my son. But I kicked my daughter out before I did my son. But my son. Actually, I didn't have to kick mine. My son left. He actually left.
There's nothing wrong with setting boundaries, though. And we got to be hard with that.
He left because he had to. I told him he had a choice. You either go get me that money or leave. That was the choice.
You and I both know what they facing out here.
Right.
So we can't be soft with them.
Right.
They got to learn it from us before they learn it from the world, because it's going to break them if they're not prepared.
Yeah, my son got his little first paycheck. He finally got him a job. And I let him drive my car. He had got my car impound. So I said, son, and he was like, really disappointed about it, but I'm like, the good thing is you got a job, you can just get it out the impound, right? So I wasn't too okay. You when you get paid, just bring your paycheck and we go get my car and we're gonna be all right. He got his paycheck and decided he couldn't do it because he needed him some money in his pocket. I told him, oh no,
right?
Oh no, you're gonna get my car out of the pound or you're gonna find you somewhere to live. And I meant that. No, you ain't doing what you want to with your paycheck. I'm telling you right now.
My kids didn't realize that they kids.
And that is on Friday. On Friday, come correct or find you somewhere to go. And he said he going to find somewhere to go.
I mean, I'm grooming them right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I say little subliminal things to them so they'll know. It's ingrained in their heads now. When you get 18, you got to get out, cuz. And I'm not really going to kick them out, but I want them to get their mind frame into doing things for themselves. Like my oldest son, that boy is super smart. And the thing is, he lazy, though, sometimes. He's a good boy, very smart. But sometimes the things that I know he can do, he'll ask me to do it for him. And I tell him, no, you need to think about it. You need to do it on your own. You need to learn on your own. And when I let him learn it on his own, he exceeds my expectations. And that's why I don't give him anything.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he asks me a question, I say, well, that's not the question. You're not asking the right question. You can't. Don't ask me, can you have? Ask me, how can you earn? And I'm putting that in him right now. So anytime he asks me, he don't ask me, can I have? What can I do to get this? How can I earn? You know, if he want a Minecraft game on his iPad, he going to have to earn that, you know. He's six, but I'm telling you, sometimes I try not to treat him like a soldier because I was, man, I think that military coming out. But
you already know it. Drill sergeant.
You know, I don't drill him like that, but I do have standards, and I don't do nothing for him.
Right. Wow.
You're too smart. You're too capable. We got to empower our kids at a young age. We got to teach them about money at a young age. This thing we talked about the three kids by three different fathers, and this thing about the, you know, kids not wanting to get out the house and get nothing and all this thing we talking about relationships, that all starts with now, 4 and 6. That's what it starts with. We got to be strong. We have to set boundaries. We have to empower our kids. But we have to let them know they're still kings and queens. We got to expect that from them. I expect excellence out of my sons and out of my daughter. My daughter's a teenager right now. We're going through some things with her. You know, she's 19. But I have to be patient with her. But I also gotta keep boundaries. You know, and I mean, you know, I feel bad if I have to kick them out. But I know the reason why I'm doing it, and I know that these days, and every time, you gotta have a backbone to be a parent. You can't be no wimpy pushover.
Come on now. I told my kids, listen, this is your choice. You got 3 choices when you turn 18. You need to get you a job, and one job ain't going to be enough, so you're probably going to need to work 2 jobs, and then you're going to have to get out of my house. You can either go in the military or you can go off to college. Now, if you go off to college, I got somewhere for you to stay. I keep your room. If you go in the military, Uncle Sam got you, and if you go get your jobs, you need to hold down your own place. You stay here long enough to get your first down payment. I'm telling you, you calculating every check you get to get your down payment to get out of my house. And I meant that.
Yeah.
I meant that. That is y'all start. So they decided, we going off to college. Okay. They went off to college. I think they was gone for about 6 months. My two in high school, they graduated the same time, my boy and girl. They went off to college. They stayed on their own for 6 months. They got their little student loan money, and they lived on their own for about 6 months before it all started crumbling down for them. And they ended up coming back home. My son came home first. Like, he wasn't going to stay out there and starve. Then my daughter, she tried to make it on her own. And I think she came back a month or two later. And then they came home, and my daughter... Yeah, then she went on to college because I couldn't pay for my kids to go to school. I just wasn't set up enough for that. A lot of parents, they pay for their kids to go off to college, which is great. But I told mine, they already knew you either need to get your own scholarships because I can't afford to pay you, send you off to college. I'm a single mother. I would love to have done it for you, but that ain't the case. So you either, and I told them all through high school, y'all better work toward a scholarship if you want to go off to college. And make sure it's a full ride, you know. And hey, they did what they did. And like I told them, it is a community college. Trust me, that's where you going. And they wanted to go be by their daddy.
We got to stop.
Yep. Go ahead.
We got to stop being their friends and be their parents.
Exactly, because you got to set them up for life.
I posted that a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm. And that's the truth.
On my Facebook page.
So they came. My daughter went to work. She went to work, and she went to college. She came and joined. Well, she went to beauty school, and she had a job. But when she got a paycheck, like I told her, this was our problem. Get a paycheck. She don't feel like she should have to give me nothing. And my son just boldly told me, y'all supposed to give us our start in life. I said, I'm giving you one.
See?
You need...
See that right there.
Yep, he did.
Sense of entitlement. What ain't these kids, what?
Hey, and he was bold about it, too. That's what parents supposed to do. I told him I am. When you get your paycheck, the first thing you supposed to do is come see what this household need. You going to buy some toilet paper, dish detergent, washing powder, or something around here.
You use all of it.
Exactly. You going to bring that paycheck home and find out what the house need before you make any decisions. Because you live here, and wherever you live, and this is how I equip my two, wherever you live, you need to see what the house need first.
Yeah.
Bottom line, your wants, your desires, none of that matter until the house is taken care of. We need to make sure we can wash next month.
The Bible says that too.
That's right.
The Bible says
charity
that
begins at home.
Take care of your family first.
That's right.
They say if you don't take care of your family first,
you're worse than an infidel.
You're worse than an infidel.
Oh, what'd it say? I told my both my
That's youth, what it say.
You need to bring that check home. Oh, yeah. And they are good now. I got to tell you, I'm so proud of them. Oh, my goodness. I'm so proud of them. Listen, we're going to go to a song. We're going to play a little bit of New Generation, He will provide. And again, Dr. Mario, Mr. Mario wrote this song, okay? Y'all enjoy, okay, man? That's right. He will provide. And that was New Generation with again Mr. Mario Rivers, the writer of that song. And we have Mr. Mario Rivers with us. How are you, Mr. Mario?
Blessed.
I know that's right.
I deserve.
Oh, I'm telling you. I feel you. Blessed better than you deserve. I feel you. So tell the listening audience, and we're going to get ready to close out here shortly, where they can get in touch with you.
Okay, I appreciate y'all, you giving me the opportunity, first of all, Naomi. I thank mm-hmm. you, and I thank your listeners for giving an ear. If y'all want to catch any of my books, you can check out www.mdriversbooks.com. That's www.mdriversbooks.com. That's my website. You can sign up for my email list. You can get the free ebook that she has there, among other things. So go check me out. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter. You can find all that on my website as well. Again, that's mdriversbooks.com. So there, everything you need is there. And again, Naomi, thank you for the interview and the opportunity. I truly, truly appreciate it.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you for your time. I think we spent a couple of hours on here. But thank
Didn't
you so much. It was an hour and 31 minutes. Yes,
oh,
sir.
Man, I didn't. Time flies.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed that. I really learned some things from you today, and I really appreciate that. That talk was really really awesome. And so I'll definitely get you a copy of the interview, and thank you so much for your time. We'll have to do this again.
I appreciate it.
We'll have to do this again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, we have to do it again. And like I told you, mm-hmm. next time I'm going to give out a free copy of my book to someone, The Truth. Because if they sign up for my email list, they can get that ebook that you have. They can get that one for free. But I'll give out a copy of my book next time I'm on the air, to one of your listeners.
Amen.
And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I had an awesome time.
Great. Well, listeners, y'all hear that he's going to give out a book the next time we have an interview. So just stay tuned. Keep it locked right here to find out, because it's to be announced. And we'll let you know a minute or two ahead of time. All right. You want to talk a little bit about you've been good and introduce it for us?
Sure. You've been good in the song. It's just letting us know how thankful we should be. It's got a like a R&B type of feel, but I guarantee you, if you listen to the words, they'll bless your life. My younger brother is singing this, actually. He's a minister. Y'all check him out at thegodmovement.com. He has a service every Saturday. Y'all check him out. His name is Minister Marcus Stewart, and he's leading this song. He's our bass player / lead singer. So I hope y'all enjoy it. And y'all can go check out our music on newgenerationgospel.com. No spaces. newgenerationgospel.com. I'll see if you can get all this up on the website later, Naomi.
Okay.
I'll give y'all the information for it if people want to either buy the music, listen to the music, or the book or anything. So thanks again, and I hope y'all enjoy the music.
All right, we're going to a new generation. You've been good. Enjoy.
a brand new day. You had a plan, though my eyes, they couldn't see. That's why I want to thank you, because you've been so good to me. Let's have just a little bit of church right now. Help me say this. Say you.